If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
You are listening to Peak to Pit, Allie Peak, TJ Pittinger. The college football season is over. We have crowned our champion. It is resoundingly UGA. They, repeat. They are sitting on that throne. Decidedly so. That was an ass kicking. 65-7.
Yeah, that wasn't even really fun.
No, it really wasn't. That was miserable.
It sucked. And I saw tweets about this. I saw you had a take on this. I saw other people had a take on this. I'm okay to talk about this because as far as the game itself, I don't think there's really a lot there that you could take away from it. I did think, they fooled me a little bit. Because when Georgia went down and scored, right away, and then TCU fumbled the ball, and I was like, this thing's over. But they got a stop. They forced a field goal. Mm-hmm. And then they went right down and scored, and I'm like, okay, at least it'll be, fun for a half.
A little bit for, yeah.
Yeah, like, you're just open. Bit. Like, we had people over. And then,
thanks for the invite.
Yeah, I know you can't do anything late with, small army over there. But, yeah, that game sucked. It was terrible.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the playoff, deserving worth versus best. I think we should have that conversation. We'll talk about Jaden Rashada in a little bit. Before we do any of that, I want to give a quick shout out to Greg Brunt and the team over at Brunt Insurance. In Tallahassee, the Keys, they will get you taken care of for all of your insurance needs, whether you're looking for a boat, car, home, motorcycle, trailer, RV, whatever you've got that's got wheels, Greg and the team will get you taken care of. You can go to bruntinsurance.com or give them a call at 954-589-2204. I say this every week, but my home and both my cars are insured through Brunt Insurance. Greg's a great guy, even though he's a Gator fan. You guys give him a call, talk some college football with him, see if he can save you some money on insurance. If he can't save you money, he'll just tell you to keep what you've got. But if he can save you money, then...
And you had a football conversation out of it. So
yeah, talk a little smack. They're down right now. Give them hell. So appreciate Greg and his team. 954-589-2204. Okay. So UGA wins it all. They're also the odds on favorite to go for a three-peat next year. I don't necessarily know that happens, but if you look at their schedule, they're absolutely
it's super easy. Yeah.
The
wheels fell off if they're not, right?
Yeah. I don't see how they lose a regular season game. And as this is not a shot, but Florida legitimately might be their top, maybe Tennessee, maybe at Tennessee.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no confidence in you guys to be challenging them, but maybe at Tennessee. I think Florida's their second toughest game. That's how bad Georgia's schedule is. It is awful. They play nobody out of conference. And to be fair, they did play Oregon last year. I get it. Sometimes you're just going to get nobody good out of conference. It's not their fault that Georgia Tech sucks right now and isn't competitive. So, it's just kind of – it's one of those years. But, I'd expect them back in Atlanta for the SEC championship. And I think as long as they don't get blown out in that SEC championship, if they lose a close game to LSU or lose a close game to Bama, they're probably in again. So, at 12-1. And that's, saying, they certainly could beat either one of those teams. So, I think they're going back to the playoff next year. I think, if I had a team that I thought was a lock for the playoff, be UGA, and TCU. You gave us one good drive, and that was it.
Yeah. and did they even really – there was literally 3 minutes of excitement. in that game. It was, I mean, after they pulled Stetson Bennett, they still scored. After they sat lots of starters, they still scored. Like, this was an ass-kicking of epic proportions. It is now officially the largest margin of victory in a championship game. And I think that this gave fuel to the fire to a lot of people that say, like, they didn't belong. And this kind of lends us into the deserving versus best conversation. And this is one that I've had before, and I like actually got destroyed on Twitter over this. Like, I was, for days, I was waking up to like 25 comments on my question about, you know, best versus most deserving. And I think, I don't even know that you can really argue resume that best TCU deserved to be there. Obviously, they did beat Michigan, which I don't know how you feel about this, but like, we see this with Cinderella teams in basketball, right? Like, a team makes the tournament, they beat one or two teams that they shouldn't, but we almost never, I don't even know if I can think of, we never see the Cinderella close the deal, right? Like, we watch George Mason upset a team or two, and they run into Florida or UCLA or whatever, and then they lose and they go home. This happened with Florida Gulf Coast. Like, we have these Cinderella teams, and it's, I don't want to say easy to get up for one game, because it's not easy to be in the position that TCU is in. But like, if you can't get up for one game, then you for sure don't deserve to be there. I think the true test of whether or not they deserve to be there was how they played the next game. And even if they didn't beat Georgia, if they just gave Georgia some sort of game, I think that it quiets the conversation about deserving and best and whatnot. But they are not on the same playing field as Georgia. Now, maybe you argue no one is. But
yeah, and probably not, right? Like, you know, maybe Ohio State was a little bit lucky that Georgia was kind of off in that game. So here's kind of my thought on this. And I think, and I'm stealing some of this from Josh Pate, who did a really good job of talking about this. But if you're just truly just going to go by the Vegas odds, right?
Right. Like,
who would be favored on the field, and you put those teams in, Alabama would have been favored over TCU.
Yes.
Alabama could have gone 9-3 and still been favored over TCU.
Yes, because they're a better team.
Alabama could have been 8-4 and still been favored over TCU. We don't, but that's, at some point, the games on the field have to matter.
I agree with that.
That's where I think you have to go with resume, because what you did on the field has to matter. Because like I said, Alabama could get down to 8-4, and they'd probably still be favored over TCU on a neutral field. And so it's like, where's the cutoff?
But I don't think there would be people advocating for a four-loss team to be in instead. But I can see the argument of a two-loss team.
But there's got to be a cutoff somewhere.
But there's no parity in college football. So it's hard to make the argument that you just have to take care of business. TCU didn't take care of business. They lost in their conference championship game.
Alabama certainly didn't take care of business either.
But Alabama played tougher teams. If Alabama would beat TCU, that tells you about who should be there. And I get that there's a line, right? Like, I understand the concept that you don't send an 8-4 team, but a 10-2 Alabama team is better than a 13-1 or, you know, whatever TCU ended up with there.
So I don't know. I mean, if you look at any power rankings based on like schedules and stuff, I mean, TCU's pretty,
but you know the eye test, TJ.
I don't think you can just say, I know that they're Alabama, and we think they're just the greatest thing ever. And they
watch what they did to Kansas State in a bowl game that they 100% didn't care about.
Well, I mean, obviously they did care if they played like that. But
did you see Saban's face?
There's got to be a cutoff at some point. Here's the other.
I agree. I think there should be a cutoff at some point.
Well, I think we say like, oh well, two wins is okay. Or two losses, I'm sorry, it's okay. But
we've had teams get in with two losses. A two-loss Alabama or a one-loss TCU team. It's not like we're saying, go ahead and put that 8-4 team in instead. 10-2, 11-1 is what we were looking at. Or 12-1. 12-1.
Yeah, and so
12-1. But
I think
does Alabama have a loss
eventually
if they're in the Big 12?
eventually your play on the field has to matter.
I get it. Like, does Alabama have a loss if they play in the Big 12?
Who they lose to this year? Tennessee
and Alabama? LSU? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what did LSU end up with? Four losses? I mean, I don't, you know, maybe. Probably not, but maybe. Maybe they catch TCU on a different week. I don't know. Alabama, this wasn't the Alabama that we're used to. See, that's the
no,
other thing.
No, it wasn't. This wasn't the Alabama. It wasn't.
And Alabama didn't have, until the bowl game, Alabama didn't have one good win on their schedule. Like, they didn't have one impressive win on their schedule. And I think that's somewhat factored into it, too. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think that factored good, in.
Or if Alabama had beaten someone through the year that actually had a pulse, their best win was Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Who ended up, like, going 7-6. You know, like, I just don't – I mean, that's another thing that
I think maybe it pans out differently in a different year, right? If you are talking about – and. You know, a 10-2 Alabama was 5 plays from being out undefeated. They might have also been 10 plays from having 4 losses.
If Alabama would have beaten a ranked Florida team, a 10-2 A&M team, you know, like if they'd had some, but they had no good wins. So I think that kind of hurt them too. Here's the other thing. We hated the fact that the national championship was a blowout and terrible.
Yeah.
But do you remember what happened in the semifinal? This was the first year that we had two
that we had good games. Yes, okay. And that is true.
So here's maybe a caveat / counterpoint. Maybe they just misseeded the teams.
Oh, they absolutely misseeded the teams, but they did that purposefully. They didn't want Michigan, Ohio State in the semifinal, but they did. Georgia Drew
wanted that because that would have been.
Yes, they should have wanted that.
Semifinal, and then we would have gotten a good national championship because Georgia
I agree.
I think that if they would have just seeded the teams correctly,
we would have a different shot.
We always get one blowout in the semifinal. And so that would have just been our blowout.
We usually get two. So, it would have been fine.
I think that that's the other side of it.
Yeah, we watched the national championship game on New Year's Eve. I mean, truly, that we watched the national championship game on New Year's Eve.
The other side of it, too, with the multiple losses, there is not one ranking system, poll system, BCS system, playoff system. Like, nothing out there would have ever put Bama ahead of TCU. So I will say that. Like, it's not just the playoff committee that's
I know that. BCS
would have had them ahead. The AP poll would have had, like, everyone for all of college.
AP poll putting them at number 2 as their final poll is absurd, by the way.
Yeah, you should get dropped more if you get blown out.
It is. I don't –
Because you dropped for losing the semifinals, so you should drop for that as well. I think you, like, half froze for a second. I'll bring you right back. But, yeah, you dropped for losing the semifinal, and so you certainly should drop.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you back now. So, anyway, that game sucked. Hopefully Georgia has a better team to play against next year in the national championship.
Can't hear you, TJ.
Can you hear me now? Maybe just try and refresh your thing. Can you hear me now? Uh-oh. Dally back in just a sec. All right, I got you back.
So
we'll see. Hopefully Georgia has a better opponent next year in the national championship because that
almost wonder if this lights a fire for Saban though. Did you see his face on the broadcast when they were talking about how Alabama or how Georgia had dominated college football for the last 2 years? I thought he was going to eat David Pollock's face. That was like, I'll be super interested to see how they respond because he is a spiteful little man. And that was some motivation.
Yeah. I think Saban's the go, and I think Alabama's the best dynasty ever. But Alabama never did that to anybody in a national championship. Now, I don't know.
I feel like they handled business a lot of times in national championships. Nobody did what
nobody's
Georgia
ever
done, right? But also, I don't know that anybody has had that weak of an opponent.
I mean, I think Alabama played teams in the Big Ten, didn't they? Didn't they play – or Big 12? They played Texas one year, didn't they?
In a year that Texas was good, though.
So
– you know who made
that
some –
that broke a record. Did you know that game broke a record? TCU had – TCU gave up the most points in national championship history.
Yeah, didn't that take the title away from Florida State?
Away from Florida. So you guys were able to hold that record.
Was it – that biggest loss, didn't they take that away from Florida State?
I don't know.
I thought that
I don't know what the margin there was. 60. I didn't go do math on everything. There was an Oklahoma game that I did see that was like 52-13, though. So I don't know. 52-20. No, that other one would have been it. So, but congratulations to you guys. I feel like that's, I feel like that could go on a banner right next to that field, that sad field goal.
Mm. Did you see Garrett Riley is heading to Clemson? They're making a move to try and get competitive right here again, too.
They better figure it out.
Yeah, that and I believe they're bringing Jeff Scott, too. So Clemson got better today.
Florida State last year, you know, Riley won the Broyles this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, the Broyles winner was able to muster 3 points against FSU's defense. On the field head-to-head this year. So hopefully
– has a better showing next year.
Royals winner can do a little bit better than Miami's did. Yeah, I think that's a good hire. They needed to do that.
Yeah, they needed to.
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt it was the offensive coordinator that was, keeping DJ in and Kate out. Like, that's probably a Dabo call. So, anyway, probably scapegoating him a little bit. But, yeah, they need to because Florida State's going to kick their ass this year. So, they need to figure something out. Speaking of kicking butt, I don't really know if that's a good transition or not, but tell us what's going on with, four-star quarterback recruit, not wanting to come play for you guys. What's going on over here?
I'm pretty sure some of the services has them as a five-star recruit, but you would pick the four-star, paperwork to look at.
Deposit.
But, okay, there you go. David Rashada, committed to Florida, signed on early signing day, was supposed to report on Monday after the Army All-American game, did not show up. Rumors, kind of swirling out of Gainesville that it was an NIL issue. Tomorrow is the last day of drop ad. So if he is not in Gainesville tomorrow, I would say that makes the assumption that he will not be in Gainesville. Obviously, it would mean he was not in Gainesville at the very least for the spring, which that's the entire point for the most part of early signing day, is so that these guys can get there, be enrolled, be working with the team, be under scholarship for that spring semester. There's a lot of rumors that are floating out there. I don't know a whole lot as fact. I think that it's pretty much decidedly an NIL issue. For sure. We've heard multiple things. Yesterday there was some reports that he had already asked out from his letter of intent. His dad talked to multiple reporters, said that wasn't true. He hadn't asked to be released. That doesn't mean he hasn't asked to be released now at this point, because that was yesterday. But I think that we'll hear something shortly because drop ad ends. So there is something imminent will happen on this. I have not heard great things. I don't know that this deal gets done. I will tell you, I don't love the way this looks for Florida, right? I think Florida walks away with egg on their face from the way that this has turned out. However, I also don't know, in a different set of circumstances, that I hate that we don't have Rashada. I don't love this NIL world we're in that's solely driven by the highest dollar, as opposed to at least some desire to play with the logo on the front of your chest. I saw multiple former Florida players tweeting today, if your number one reason for coming here isn't the logo, see ya, essentially. And I know that attitude has to evolve with this NIL world, but I feel like there has to be something in between, essentially, being pimped out by your parents or your agent or whatever for every single dollar, and picking a school that you either have some loyalty to, think will develop you, has the kind of college programs that you're after. There has to be some sort of middle ground on this. And I hope that NIL evolves a little bit into that, which I think is what it was supposed to be from the beginning. I think it's entirely perverted from what its original intents were, but it's the Wild West, and universities really aren't allowed to be involved, at least not on paper, and at least not on the up and up. And you've got 18-year-old kids making lifetime decisions. And I don't love the way all of this is playing out.
Yeah, I think it's brutal for Florida. I think it's, you know, like you said, there's really not a.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got me now. You got me.
All right.
Well, I was ready to roll there too. I was gonna give you a lot of crap. I'll wait for you to come back real quick. You got to upgrade that Wi-Fi. You got that bad Wi-Fi. We got to work on your Wi-Fi over there.
I don't know what is going on tonight. This is not good.
Yeah, this is a bad look for Florida either way. Whether they're able to keep him or not. I mean, just the fact that this has come out and made, you know, it's just like, it's just PR that wasn't needed, right? It was an underwhelming year. It finished kind of crappy. You know, I think that Billy's fine right now, but I think fans are unhappy just with how things are going right now. It, you know, they brought in Napier to recruit better than Mullen. And if you lose Rashada, your class falls to like 14th or 15th, right? And Mullen never had a class that low. And right. So it's just like, well, crap, you know, like that is not what we wanted, right? We gave up the on-field guy for the, you know, the guy that was supposed to come in and recruit better.
The CEO. Yeah.
If you recruit worse than Mullen ever did in your first year, it becomes a lot tougher to improve that. And you look at Norvell, like Norvell still hasn't improved that on the high school level, right? It takes a lot of time to do that. You kind of get a little bit of a pass your first year. And I think that Florida's class overall is still, you know, fairly good. I mean, above average if you're in the 14, 15 range. But I mean, we certainly wouldn't consider that elite. And most of the class stayed together. And so, you know, hats off to them for being able to do that with a 6-6 record. But if you go 6-6 next year, it's just going to fall again. Like you move further away from that new car smell, that new car shine of new coach, new vision. Here's what we're putting together, and you go 6-6 again next year. You're like, 18,
well, particularly when you factor in the amount of guys that have hit the portal, it becomes Billy's team a lot faster. It's a lot more difficult to sell it as these aren't my guys. As soon as I get my guys in place, it'll be a different outcome. But when you lose 30-ish, you know, to the portal and graduation and whatever else, you know, that team becomes your team quickly. I will say that, and I know you and I have talked about this over the last couple of years, but prior to any sign of trouble with Mullen at Florida, I heard from multiple people on staff that they really struggled with the NIL stuff in terms of what the university allowed them to do, wanted them to do, was okay with them doing, and that they were not really evolving with the times that, you know, as NIL was being born, which was, you know, towards the end of Mullen's tenure, but before things started getting rocky. And I do think that there is a possibility that a lot of this isn't on Napier, and also that Mullen took maybe some blame for recruiting things that were not really on him either. And that is something that the university is going to have, you know, a come to Jesus conversation, a little bit of a gut check about the kind of program that they want to have, that they're willing to have, and what they are willing to do to make that happen. This is not the 90s when Steve Spurrier was coached. This is not the early 2000s with Urban Meyer. This is not, people are not going to schools anymore purely for the logo, for the name, or for the development that they are getting. And while I think that is unfortunate, that is just not the moment that we're in college football right now. Money does talk. NIL is king. this is what is driving players to universities. So you adapt or you die, right? Like that is the way that this works. And so I'm interested to see what Scott Strickland, and even above that, UF is getting a new president, Ben Sasse, like how does he feel about sports and what kind of emphasis on NIL is he going to allow? What kind of rule bending is he going to be okay with? And, you know, I think we've seen the NCAA is not going to do anything about anything, right? Like the stuff, it is currently the Wild West. And so I don't know. And if Florida would feel better about it, maybe Florida needs to go the route where they lobby for legislation that allows for them to be involved. I don't know exactly what the answer is, but my gut tells me that this is far bigger than Napier or Dan Mullen or any of that. And I do feel that both have been handcuffed a little bit by the university.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, again, if, you know, we were sold that like we were going to give Napier everything he needed. And what's tough is like right now, obviously with NIL, you can't, the university has to almost be like shadow involved. Like they're all involved. It's just, you know, they can't.
But at what level they're allowing, the university is allowing the athletic department to be shadow involved is where I have questions.
Oh, I mean,
I'm not saying that they're like, not at all, but yeah, like, how much easier would it be
if there's an NIL hang up with Rashada, then, you know, the university's telling them like, hey, pay this kid. We want to recruit him. So like they're
shadow involved. At the end of the day, the NIL contract will be through a collective or boosters or whatever.
Sure.
And this player, but the biggest loser doesn't sign the contract. And that's the problem for
right.
me,
and,
anyway.
But that's,
the university being able, 100%. I understand that. But if you are a university that is unwilling to bend in the way that I have been told that Florida is unwilling to bend, the only hope you have is the change for you to be able to be involved. And truly, if universities were involved, I think that we would see these numbers curb a little bit. I think that we would see a little bit of a settling down of NIL. It's not going away, right? But I do think that we're at this peak right now, that at some point it will plateau and we will normalize a little bit. We're not to that moment yet, but I do think that legislation that allows universities to be the person that signs on the dotted line, that has a say, that is held accountable one way or the other, the egg's on the university's face no matter what, but let's at least allow them to be the actual legal accountable partner in these NIL things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, what the rumors sound like is that like things aren't really being, you know, not to get into like every single rumor, but it sounds like there is NIL. It's just whether or not like things are being agreed to or, you know,
right.
stuff like that. But like, so I don't think that there's like, I mean, I don't think the university is hindering them at all. Like, I'm pretty sure the collective is like an official partner, like through Learfield. Like they've had collective advertisements run in the stadium. So like, I think the university is pretty on par with the collective. And once
But if it's the university attorney that's reading things, it's the university athletic director that's signing on the dotted lines and things like that. That feels different to me, right? Like moment, the university is beholden to people who are volunteering their time because they care about their university and they want to see it be successful. Like in no way knocking people that run collectives or anything like that. Like they're literally out there trying to help their team in the best way that they possibly can. But this is not it. That makes it so much more complicated.
Sure.
And more complicated than it probably needs to be. And they're not necessarily professionals in this. They're people trying to figure out a whole new world.
And they have no stake. They have no skin in the game.
No.
Like they have their time and effort and energy, but not like the
not like the university does.
Right? Like it's not like it's not like, I mean, you know, who it hurts the most is Billy Napier. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
correct.
He's going to go into next year.
He's the person, his career lives or dies. And I don't mean that like he would never coach again, but like he is head coach of the University of Florida. He's got a 3-ish years to figure it out. And he will live or die at the University of Florida by decisions that somebody else is in charge of.
And
that's
hard. About this. Year three is usually the one that matters. Year three is like, okay, figure this out. You need to go. Obviously, if three is like, you could sometimes get a 4. But this year, I don't think matters unless they like go like 1-11 or something stupid like that. Like this year doesn't matter. He'll be fine through this year. But he's going to go into year three without a quarterback, right? Like now you can pick somebody up in the portal. They can maybe get somebody to transfer. Maybe they get a true freshman to come in and that guy just absolutely lights it up. They've got a really good one committed now.
Right.
That signing day is a long way away. And this situation probably doesn't help that recruitment much. But he's going to go into year three without a QB. And like that's not a good place to be, you know. Like, you know, I think that that's.
And honestly, and you're right in that he's not getting fired after next year unless something catastrophic happens or there's some kind of off the field something or other, which I don't foresee happening at all. But Florida fans are not patient. He gets 3 years unless you know there's real signs of improvement in 2 and 3, and I don't think that's fair. I am a massive proponent of at least 4 to 5 years for a coach to have the opportunity at rebuild, but the reality is that's not how Florida works, and it should be, because at some point it's going to hinder the coaches that you're able to hire if you rinse and repeat every 3 years. But Billy Napier is for sure not guaranteed past those three, so he has to start the climb from this season. Next season needs to be better than this season, no matter what the factors are, no matter what your roster looks like, no matter what your schedule looks like, for there, he has to have improvement.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they need to be better. And I don't think it gets much easier when you look at the guys that Florida lost and you look at how much they're going to have to replace on the roster this year. And you look at the schedule. I mean, we've talked about this before, but I mean, just looking at the schedule, I think Florida has 4 very tough games in Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, and Florida State. I'm not saying they couldn't beat Tennessee or Florida State.
That doesn't make the schedule harder than last year. They had all of those teams on last year. Like, this schedule, I think, is a tick easier.
That was just 4 of the games. I think Florida's roster got better. And I think all those – or Florida's roster did not get better. Sorry. Florida's roster lost a lot, and we just don't know what's coming back for Florida next year.
There's a lot of unknowns, right? Like
LSU, less unknowns. Florida State, less unknowns. Georgia, less unknowns. Tennessee brings everybody back but Hooker, but like Milton looked really
Milton
good.
Milton did great, in the bowl game.
I think that those are 4 really tough games. And then I think you also have a tough game at Utah, who returns their starting quarterback. You're going to have a tough game at Kentucky, who they got – Leary.
Which, by the way, the university sent out emails today saying that could happen as early as.
So I think you got a tough game against Utah. I think you got a tough game against Kentucky. I think South Carolina is probably going to play you better this upcoming year than they did last year. To me, that's still the wildest result I've ever seen, how South Carolina loses to Florida by 32 and then beats Tennessee.
And Clemson.
And Florida loses to Vandy the next one. Like, how did those 3 games like happen like that? I don't know. But
why we play the game.
I think South Carolina can be really tough. I think Missouri is a tough game always. So, like, there's a lot of tough games on Florida's schedule. They have to play Arkansas this year. So it doesn't really get any easier, you know? And
I think that this schedule is a tick easier than it was last year. But, I mean, there has to be improvement. I think Billy Napier wins 8 games next year. Everyone's fine. Everyone's happy. He rolls into year 3. Not a large amount of pressure on him. I mean, he's got to win year 3. He's got to win 9 games probably if he won 8 the year before. But he doesn't have to go to the SEC championship game. He'll still have a job for year 4 as long as that climb continues. But I think he's got to win 8 games next year. And we're going to see the type of coach he is. We're going to see what kind of diamonds in the rough he has found. We're going to see how he does with these transfers that he brings in. We're going to see what he does with young guys. We're going to see what it looks like for the guys that stuck around and had an entire year in his program. I'm interested to see the coaching changes that he is or isn't willing to make and what kind of introspection he's willing to give us on himself. We've talked about this, like, does Florida get a play caller? Does Florida get a special teams coach or a quarterbacks coach? Like, what kind of moves staff-wise are almost as important to me, because I think it's a clue into his head, you know, moving
forward. Make staff changes? I don't think he's making any staff changes.
I don't know. I am interested.
He's getting late if he is.
Yeah, I mean, it is getting late. I don't think he's a great play caller. I don't love the way the play calling went this year. I could see special teams responsibilities being given off to somebody else that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to hire an additional coach for that to happen. But we are at a conference where special teams points come at a premium. You win and lose ball games by your special teams performance, and Florida's was not good this year. So that's something that, and you know, I get it. You're rebuilding your team. You're installing an all new offense and defense, and maybe special teams falls to the wayside a little bit. But year two, it needs to be a focus. I don't know. I think that there are some changes that could just happen internally. They don't necessarily even mean that you have to go outside of hiring somebody, but that would help this team.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, but I don't think they are making any staff changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm also interested to see what continues to happen in the portal, because I do think they're going to need to replace a lot of these guys. Uh-huh. And
they've gotten some great positions of need in the portal. Billy has done well in the portal. The people that he brought in from the portal last year, even the ones that weren't following him from Louisiana, are people that were really the best performers for Florida. And even when you talk about the guys you brought from Louisiana, this means he was able to identify diamonds in the rough and develop them, and they were able to step onto the field in a Power 5 conference and contribute immediately. Some of which, you know, Osiris Torrance became an All-American. Was he an All-American? Like, there is just, he developed talent that the average college Power 5 coach didn't see when they were coming out of high school. And that's promising. So I'll be interested to see who else he snags from the portal. LSU had a quarterback just enter. If they're not going to end up with Rashada, getting another guy from the portal is not the worst idea, because Florida's going to need to be able to participate in spring, right? Like, I feel like you need four guys probably, two on each side for your spring game to happen. So I think
they have three now with Miller, Mertz, Max, and then like the baseball kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll find a walk on for the fourth. Yeah, I don't know if they'll go back to the portal or not. I don't know. I mean, they should. I've heard that LSU kid's going to TCU though, so we'll see about that. But
I wonder if that changes with Riley leaving.
I don't know. I've heard he was a I've heard the what's the Dykes is the Sonny Dykes is the
yeah. Well, supposedly Napier and this kid had a relationship when this kid was in high school. He is from Louisiana. So, I mean, I don't know. And I haven't heard he's coming there. I'm not trying to start that rumor by any means, but I'd sure as hell hit it hard if I'm Billy Napier, especially if this somebody who I had a previous relationship with, you know, and when he was going through recruitment the first time around. Florida did get a big offensive lineman this week. They've gotten some defensive linemen. Those are both positions of need. Florida's going to now have 3 6'8", 300-pound guys on the line. I think that they, you know, are seeing what teams like Georgia are doing in the trenches and have hopes of emulating things like that. This is going to be the largest offensive line, you know, if it plays out the way that we're predicting that it plays out, that Florida's had it as long as I can remember. So, you know, hitting some positions of need, there's just a lot of positions of need. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a ton. And I don't know. You're more optimistic than I am, but we'll see. I think Florida could get to 8 next year, but I think it would have to be with a bowl win. Like right now I think Florida could honestly finish anywhere from 6-6 to 8-4.
Yeah.
And so like if I'm kind of in that range, I mean, if things go off the rails, then I think like 5-7's in play. I think there's a scenario where they lose to those four teams that I just told you and drop one more, right? Like drop to a Utah or drop to a Kentucky or whatever. So I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for UF this year. I mean, you know, but crazier things have happened, right? Like we didn't expect Florida State to win 10 this year. And so you can, I don't want to say luck into that, but you can like.
I mean, we're going to see the kind of developer that Billy Napier is. And that's part of what he was.
I think it's just a bigger rebuild than thought, right? Like I think that, you know, that it seemed like, oh, there's a lot of talent here. We have Anthony Richardson. We're in really good shape. We love our running backs, but
Florida does have great running backs. That's the lone bright spot at the moment.
So it's like, well, what does that end up looking like next year? And if they can find a way to
piece together a giant offensive line, having those good running backs becomes a lot more valuable right there.
When we talked about over-unders last year in Vegas, Florida State's 6.5. I think Florida's is going to be around 7 again next year. And they're either going to underachieve and win 6 games, or they're going to overachieve and win 8. Right. And then you see what happens in a bowl, right? Like you know, maybe you get to that ninth or something like that. But I mean, I think that's probably fair. I mean, we'll see what rosters look like and what everything kind of looks like once you get closer to the season. But I mean, yeah, I think it's just going to be tougher than, I mean, you know, and every rebuild's tough, but it's really tough now with like the transfer portal, you know, you got guys leaving left and right and we'll see kind of what, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in things, but we'll see.
You also don't want it to be a great rebuild either. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be better for Florida State if you guys sucked. But at the same time, like, I think Florida will eventually get back. I just don't know if it'll be in, you know. And to me, that's where it's at. Like, right, like, if Florida gets, like, to me, I mean, you know, we can disagree on this. I'm fine with it. But, I think the schedule is a tick tougher, right? Like, I think that Arkansas is going to be every game is essentially the same, right? You've just flipped home and away on everything. And so, like,
Florida State, they take Texas A&M and trade them for Arkansas, which is a trade. But Texas A&M has so much more talent than Arkansas.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. They were missing, like,
but it does matter. Tell that to TCU that doesn't matter.
Texas A&M was a bad team when you played them. Arkansas has the propensity to be a better team than Texas A&M was at that moment. If you were looking at the schedule beginning of the year, yeah, Texas A&M was a tough game, but that was not a tough game for Florida. I mean, Texas A&M sucked that game. So, like,
all the games that Florida won, the opposition sucked, and all the games that Florida won, the opposition played down to their opponents and lost.
Utah was a good win, wasn't it?
Yeah,
A&M was supposed to win. A&M was supposed to win 10 games last year. They won 5. Like, I think it's fair to say that A&M sucked last year. Like, I think that – I don't think I'm breaking any ground there.
No, but I also – I mean, that – Florida lucked out to where that was on the schedule. But in general, you take Arkansas overtaking Texas A&M on your schedule every day.
For sure. But you also don't know that you're getting A&M that's a 5-win A&M team.
Right. Right.
So, like, you know, so I – at worst case, I think it's a wash.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's good for Florida that it's at home. So maybe that's slightly easier. But Utah gets tougher by having to go out there.
I don't know that I think that gets much tougher being on the road. I think it's tougher that, you know, they have a senior quarterback coming back. But I don't picture Utah as a hard place to play. Like, LSU, there's massive home field advantage for them playing there.
You'd rather play anyone at home, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, but I don't think that that's, like, LSU is a definitive points advantage to be on the road versus, to be home versus on the road there. I don't know that I think there's a definitive points advantage for playing Utah on the road.
I mean, it's easy.
I don't picture it as like a toxic and terrifying place.
Utah people can get really rowdy.
They're the major fans that we've come across in all of my years of college football.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. But all that said, if he can get to 7 wins next year, I think that's a really good job. Especially looking at the roster right now. Didn't Florida lose 4 offensive linemen? So they've gotten some guys in the portal. But how do those pickups work? How do those transfers work together? Florida's offensive line was probably their best unit last year. They were phenomenal. And I think really made the running backs are really good, but I think they're what made the running backs job so easy was the holes those guys were running through were massive. And the offensive line was great for UF last year. And so how does that change? Is the defense getting better? Because the defense has been
hard to get worse.
Like 3 or 4 years. So I think that all kind of plays in it. So if he can get to 7 wins, I know that's not like the leaps and bounds that people want. But if you can get to 7 and then you can get into a bowl game that, you know, Florida got a little unlucky with their bowl game this year. If you can get into a bowl game that you can, I don't know, maybe have a chance in, you know, like maybe play like a mid-level ACC team or something so that you're not playing like another team that's
winning. I don't want to play you twice in one season.
Oh, wow. I don't think we're going to be in the same bowl stratosphere this year, just for what it's worth. They're putting my logo up pretty high in the in the preseason polls. So
yeah, how'd that go for Texas A&M?
Not so great, but I didn't coach here anymore. So only coach in history to be ranked 3 times inside the top 10, and
Finished undefeated or unranked.
Unranked. So yeah, I think good riddance. Anything else? You got anything else before we get out of here?
I don't think so. I think that's about it.
If you guys know a Gator fan out there besides Allie, please send them prayers. It's a rough time right now, but you guys will get back on your feet. I'm sure of it. Hope it's
I think
not
we're good.
But
it's all good.
I'm confident that you'll get back there one day. All right, cool. Well, appreciate Brunt Insurance, 954-589-2204. I don't have anything else. Hopefully you guys don't have a quarterback tomorrow, so we'll see. All right, go Noles.
Go Gators.